Okay, guys. Welcome back to True Threats Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. So, yeah, once again, hey, if anybody knows how to get in touch with this, I'm trying to see if there's an email listed here. Ron Scott. It's spelled S-C-H-O-T-T. Ron Scott. Anybody listening out in Washington, if you have his email, call in. And I'll you know, mention it over the air. We can write to this guy and congratulate him. This is fantastic. People like this really do need to be supported, praised, you know, for their stand like this. And hopefully he'll continue on this path and follow through and actually give 9/11 truthers a voice in the paper. See, this is how you get the truth out, folks. This is how you take your government back from fascist pigs who are hell-bent on destroying your country. On local levels, you know, you get the newspapers in with you. Then it goes to the local TV, local radio, and the next thing you know, the whole nation is now awakened, and they're not going to get away with what they're doing anymore. This is how they took control of us in the first place. They started, you know, taking over the newspapers. That began in 1915. Walter Lippmann was instrumental in that. Then you, as time goes on, you know, you buy up radio stations. As TV developed, they made sure they were right there from the start, creating the networks so that they can have control over what goes over all the airwaves. This is what we got to do, but we got to do it in a much shorter period of time than they did, because our time is running very short. I mean, these guys have us right at the edge of the cliff, guys, and they're ready to push us off. 9/11 has leaped forward the globalist agenda overnight and enabled them to accomplish in just a few years' time what otherwise would have taken them decades or perhaps another century. Unbelievable what has been done to this country, or should I say undone, just since 9/11. Absolutely frightening. And once again, that should tell you a little bit about who's behind all of this. Anyway, let me pick up where I left off here. We're talking about the rigging of the 9/11 Commission, the fact that, you know, Bush first tried to stop it altogether. The whole administration, all of them, you know, Karl Rove and Cheney and Rumsfeld, the whole lot of them, they didn't want it. When that didn't work, once again, they handpicked all the commission members. But even that wasn't enough. Next, they, in order to prevent any information from still leaking out, even though they were, you know, the whole thing was controlled as far as the members being the little lapdogs, they still needed to take additional precautions to thwart the efforts of this investigation, to prevent it at every turn from getting information out they didn't want the public to have. So what did they do? Bush defunded them down to $9 million. The shuttle committee, investigation committee, got $50 million. The 9/11 commission only got $9 million. Think about that, guys. 9/11 was the biggest crime in American history. The biggest. And it's also one of the most, if not the most, suspicious. It needed to be investigated thoroughly. And yet they only got $9 million. Not only that, but they were cut back on the time allotted to them. They wanted more time. They said it wasn't enough. What was it? It was orchestrated in 2003 or 2002. And they had to finish their report by the summer of 2004. So that was like a year and what? A year and a half? Year and 6 or 7 months? And they said, no, this, you know, this isn't enough time. We need at least 2 years to thoroughly look into this and investigate, you know, and interview all the people we want, blah, blah, blah. Nope, they were cut back on the time, cut back on the funding, but that's not enough. Oh, no, it's never enough for the Bushy boys. Then Bush told them they couldn't interview certain federal staff unless there was someone from the State Department telling them what they could and couldn't say. Oh, and a whole lot more things we'll talk about when we get back from the break. Stick with us, folks.
Thank you. The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Tied all your lies. You're the ones who are insane, you trashy neocon filth. Yeah, everybody's waking up to it, baby. You guys, your days are numbered, okay? Everybody knows you're a fascist, traitorous, un-American trash, and that protesting you isn't un-American because you are the ones who are un-American. You are the ones that need to be sent off to China. Perhaps you'll fit in much better over there. You know, that scoundrel, Emperor Gluteus Maximus, the unelected dictator that now illegally occupies the White House twice over through 2 rigged elections, actually told Congress shortly after 9/11, "The terrorists who attacked us did so because they hate our freedoms." Oh, really now? I hope you see the problem with that statement, folks. Nobody has demonstrated themselves to be more hateful of our freedoms than George Bush himself and his entire neocon cabal. So I guess that's a personal confession that they're responsible for the attacks, right? He said the terrorists who attacked us hate our freedoms. Well, there you go. Even if you're a neocon, that statement presents a serious problem, doesn't it? Bush, for him to say that the terrorists hate our freedoms, and then for him to attack our freedoms, in fact, leave us with no freedoms left at all, through the Patriot Act, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, the Homeland Security Act, the Military Commissions Act, on and on and on. Through all these sleazy pieces of power-grabbing, constitution-trampling legislation, isn't it most painfully obvious that he must be in league with Al-Qaeda, if you believe in the official, 9/11 story, and that there is, in fact, this globally coordinated network of Al-Qaeda agents that are hiding everywhere, including underneath your bed. If you believe that such an agency exists, then neocons, Bush's statement that they attacked us because they hate our freedoms proves he's in league with Al-Qaeda. Quick, neocons, arrest your great leader. That statement he made proves he's in league with the evil Al-Qaeda agents. Because he's doing exactly what the evil Al-Qaeda network wants, according to his own testimony, right? He says they hate our freedoms and that he attacks every one of them. He's doing, apparently, what they want, according to his own words. They hate our freedoms. That means they want us not to have freedoms anymore, right? And since Bush has taken our freedoms away, isn't he cooperating with Al-Qaeda? If he was really fighting against Al-Qaeda and really wanted to get under their skin, he would have done nothing to the Constitution. As a matter of fact, he would have amended the Constitution to give us even more rights. But the fact that Gluteus Maximus has taken our rights away that he claims Al-Qaeda hates us over proves, neocons, that he's in league with Al-Qaeda. Therefore, why do you support him, neocons, unless you obviously must work for Al-Qaeda yourself? You like Al-Qaeda, no? Do you see how phony these people are? On what basis can anybody possibly support Bush today unless they're just looking after their stock portfolio? What can they defend him on? What has he done for this country that has benefited we, the people? I'm not talking about the people on Wall Street. That's painfully obvious now, isn't it? I'm talking about 99.99999% of the country's population. You know, the working poor. What has he done for them except to drive them more into poverty, take away a high-paying job, send them over to India and China, and drive the wages down for the few jobs we have left through the mass influx of illegals with wide-open borders? Anyway, guys, so he rigs the 9/11 commission. He doesn't cooperate with it. He doesn't give them the money they ask for. He doesn't give them the time they ask for. He tells them that they can't interview certain federal staff unless there's someone from the Justice Department telling them what they can and can't say. Rigged it there. Then he doesn't allow them access to certain government facilities, even ones that already had security clearance. Don't forget, Max Cleland resigned from the commission. I want to get him on. I actually have his contact info. I'm planning on having him come on sometime. I don't know, you know, how much above board he's going to be able to talk about this, but I'm going to ask him because he was pretty disgusted when he stepped down. He called the commission and the thwarting thereof a sham and said the American people are being ripped off. Oh, you better believe it, on a scale far grander than you can imagine, Mr. Cleland. But so in addition to all that, guys, you might recall the White House was refusing to hand over certain key documents that were requested by the commission. In fact, most of them they were never able to get. The few that they were given had much of the information on them in them blacked out. Blacked out. One commission member responded by saying, "This is unbelievable." He said, "Even some of the formerly released material has now been recalled and is being withheld. Even material that was already declassified, they were pulling back with. You know, they were thwarting them at every turn." All right, guys, we got another caller, Susie in California. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome to Two Thirds.
Oh, hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
Listen, I had a comment for you. Did you happen to see General Petraeus's testimony in front of the Senate the other day?
No, I didn't.
Oh boy. That guy, he's got a couple of loose screws. What happened was a senator was questioning him. The senator, I can't remember what his name was. He's a Democrat. He said, "General Petraeus, do you think that our being in Iraq is in defending our country?" Is it securing or making our country more secure? That was the question. Mm-hmm. And Petraeus, General Petraeus, answered by going on about the surge is working and all that. And then the senator said...
Hey, are you sure you're pronouncing... Are you pronouncing his name right? Isn't it General Petraeus?
Petraeus, yeah. P-E-T-R-A-E-U-S.
No. Yeah. I said Petraeus.
Yes. Then yeah. The senator said, General Petraeus, I'll repeat the question because he didn't answer it, you know. He said, do you think that our United States military being in Iraq is securing our country? And Petraeus put his head down like he was ashamed of himself, and he said, I don't know. Now, you know what? If the head general in the Army, the U.S. Army, doesn't know if being over there is helping our country and securing our safety over here, what the heck is going on?
Unbelievable. What a cop-out answer. But even that answer is very telling. I don't know. I'm engaged in this major battle for a purpose. I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he admitted it.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, if you got the link, if you can send that to me on Pal Talk. Susie's one of my Pal Talk buds.
Pal
Talkers calling it today.
Well, actually, it was on the on the channel. Let's see. It was on NBC News this morning, the national news, you know, with, the big Today Show. In the morning,
yeah.
They actually showed that clip and
really?
What Petraeus said and everything, and they, wow, and the news.
You know,
Good
for them. I'm glad they showed it. But isn't it amazing? You know, everybody is disgusted with this war. They want out. Even some of the hardcore Bush supporters are now pulling away from it simply because they don't want their ratings to go down. And you know, but in the midst of all this, the whole nation's against it. They want us out of there. There's still. You know, passing legislation like that scam thing a few weeks ago where Bush now can declare you basically a terrorist for protesting the war. I mean, he's, you know, taking measures to prevent people from protesting.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic.
Everybody knows it's a scam, but you can't protest against it.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. I think the money issue is coming up again in Congress real soon about are we going to give Bush another, $200 billion? To run the war now? We're going to do this? Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. Do we have enough votes to go to stop the money to Iraq? I don't think we do. That's the problem. Because you have to have two-thirds to override Bush, you know, in the House.
Do you know what $20 billion can do if that money was kept here? Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. You bet. It could save lives. Everywhere.
And that little scoundrel was talking about Saddam, how he's living in luxury on a gold throne while his people are starving in the streets. Oh, you little.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know. I'll try and send that link to you. And I just hope that I think it's really that clip on the Today Show, if anybody can actually go to the Today Show and watch that.
Very telling.
It was very telling. Yes, it was. Anyway. Okay. Well, thanks for the good show. We really appreciate your show here.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Susie.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Very interesting, guys. So, you know, it makes you want to encourage your kids to go over there and defend the country for something that they don't know, you know, what function it serves. But go over there anyway. Oh, it just makes you proud to be an American. Oh, man, oh, man. Well, you know, it's encouraging when you see mainstream media even covering this stuff. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people in mainstream media that don't like this. They don't like it. Even their own pundits, whose job it has been to shill for them and lie for them, they're not even happy about this. The little house of cards is coming down. It's crumbling. And, boy, I'm telling you, I want to be there to see it. I got front row seats reserved. Oh, they're going to go up in smoke, and I'm going to toast marshmallows right by the fire. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back exposing these neocon mass-murdering fascist pigs. We'll be right back.
You could see what it's done to me. safe beneath it.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, going over some more details of 9/11. I could spend 2 weeks on this subject, not even scratch the surface. I'll be going over in coming weeks, months, from time to time, going over more details of this. But let me pick up with the commission. You just look at this whole so-called investigation, and right there, you see there's a problem. Just with the way they were thwarting this thing, preventing it, limiting it, the scope of it, rigging it with their inside boys. I mean, it's so disgusting. And yet, when you question the official story, you're said to be disgracing the memory of those who died and doing injustice to their loved ones who are still alive. And whatever. Unbelievable. By exposing the real perpetrators of the crime? Hey, let me tell you, a great many of the family members of 9/11 victims are themselves 9/11 truthers and know the stories of fraud, guys. They're the ones doing injustice by not giving them a voice, by silencing, suppressing them. Hey, you look at what went on at the commission hearings themselves. They were silencing 9/11 family members, weren't letting them express their opinion. Look at Louis Castioli, for example, one of several firemen who gave testimony about the explosions that were going off in the buildings before they began to collapse, and their testimony was struck from the record. In fact, they were told to be quiet. He got angry. He says, wait a minute, what are you telling me? You know, how come you're ignoring me? How come you're not letting me finish this? You need to hear this. This is important. This is of vital interest to this investigation. He finally said he got so bad he walked out in the middle of the proceedings. Never went back, was never called to go back. Did you know that the head of the firemen's union in New York asked the commission to appear before them? They never called him. You would think that he would have been, you know, one of the ones that would want to consult. They never called him, so he called them and asked to appear, and they turned him down. And he said, what's going on here? What do you mean? He says, my testimony is vital. I can't believe that you would not want to hear from me. And they said, we manage this commission, and we decide who we do and do not interview. Oh, yeah, but that's a real investigation, right? Unbelievable. My honey just sent me a picture. Love you, Jen. Just sent me a picture of Bush at some 9/11 memorial ceremony or something that they had yesterday. And he's sitting there with lovely Laura and that other thing, you know, that bald-headed freak with the shotgun that loves to shoot people that snarl at him. And he's got his hand down, but he's making the satanic Baphomet sign, guys, right there at the ceremony. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's so. In fact, this is on Yahoo News, showing a picture of him. Oh boy. I'm trying to see. Let's stand with White House staff and members of Congress as they take part in a memorial. Yeah, it was a ceremony, I guess, yesterday, 9/11 memorial. Absolutely unbelievable. Guys, you know, this isn't by chance. When you see these hand signs being used, Pat Robertson has done it on many occasions. I've seen him. And it's in the context of a prayer when he does it, too. That makes it all the more disgusting. You know, as he's praying, he'll say, "Oh, Lord, I beseech you," or whatever. And as he says, "Lord," he's making the devil's hand sign. Unbelievable. Yeah, Pat Robertson's a Christian, all right, and I'm the flippin' Easter Bunny. Anyway, so as if all that wasn't enough, all that thwarting of the 9/11 Commission, stonewalling, you name it, now it comes time they ask him to appear to give testimony before the commission. Do you know he appeared on Meet the Press with Tim Russert? This was in February of 2004. And Russert asked him, "Mr. President, are you going to appear before the commission to give your testimony?" You know what he says?
Well, I don't testify, but I'll be more than happy to meet with them and give them some recommendations.
I don't testify. Unbelievable. Spoken like a true despot, huh? I don't testify. Unbelievable, guys.
Things would be a heck of a lot easier if this was dictatorship. As long as I'm the dictator.
I don't testify. So when they asked him, he refused. And for a whole month, they were hounding him. And so much negative publicity was generated from this. He finally agreed to meet with them. But under these stipulations, the proceedings were not to be recorded in any way, shape, or fashion. They were to be private, not public. They were not to be under oath when they gave their testimony. And he and Cheney were to meet together, not alone. The only two people ever interviewed by the 9/11 Commission, of all the people they interviewed, they were the only two that refused to meet alone. They had to be together. Unbelievable. Well, you know, it touches your heart, doesn't it? I guess that's a true sign of the love they have for one another. Such a rare thing among couples in America today. There's one marriage that I don't think will ever end in divorce. Yes, George and Dick are deeply in love. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host Charlie Giuliani. We only got about a half an hour left here, including the commercial breaks, and as always, never enough time. I wanted to cover a lot of territory. Just cover, you know, some more of the main highlights here. As I mentioned, Bush and Cheney both did not want to appear. When they finally appeared, you know, they had to have all these stipulations. The proceedings were private, not public, and, you know, they were not to be under oath when they gave their testimony. And then afterwards, we find out that Hamilton and Zellico and Keene all made statements to the effect that, you know, when they were asked, what happened? How was the general feeling when you interviewed the president? Oh, it went quite well. It was very relaxed. We didn't want to say anything that would upset the president, you know, in the midst of this politically charged election year. So, you know, it was very relaxed. We didn't upset him. And then they mentioned that, you know, the purpose of this investigation was not to point blame, not to point any condemning fingers. We just want to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. I mean, could they make it any more clear? that this fiasco was not an investigation. Hey, don't worry. They only blew $9 million with this cover-up to lie to you. You know, they spent a lot more on the Kennedy thing. Look at the Kennedy thing, guys. They produced 26 volumes. Actually, that was just a supplemental report. You know, there was the initial Warren Commission report, then the 26 supplemental volumes. All of that, I don't even remember what the price tag was. It was a lot bigger than $9 million, I'll tell you that. And that was just for, you know, I'm not trying to minimize the crime of the murder of the president, but on 9/11, guys, you know, roughly 3,000 people died. It was, in fact, the biggest crime in American history. And all they dumped into that was $9 million. And, of course, all we got out of it was a complete cover-up. It's so disgusting, man. Oh, this is unbelievable. But anyway, so there's your 9/11 commission. Rigged from the start, thwarted, blocked. The three top heads of it admit that they weren't even investigating anything anyway. They didn't point a blaming finger. They weren't on a witch hunt. They didn't say anything to upset the president. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. The guy who, you know, had the most to gain from this, who was engaged in lies and cover-ups from day one, and they didn't say anything to upset him. Well, isn't that comforting to know? The guilty party was not upset. Oh, that just comforts me to know that. Unbelievable, guys. And then, of course, you look at what went on at Ground Zero. No investigation there. All the debris was conveniently carted off, and they didn't, you know, section. Understand, guys, it's a federal crime to tamper with crime scene evidence. Certainly to destroy it, to remove it. And yet this was done from the word go all the way through until the last piece of debris was removed. It was not examined. It wasn't allowed to be. There were volunteers, experts from around the country there, volunteering their services for free. They weren't allowed to touch the debris. They weren't allowed to look at it. Giuliani forbade pictures from being taken, as a matter of fact, because they can amount to incriminating evidence. Every possible measure was taken. They put this 60-foot-tall fortress fence all around the whole perimeter of Ground Zero, and they lined the inside of it with this white screen mesh thing that prevented you from getting a clear view of what was going on inside there. Again, all part of the cover-up. And, you know, when you inquire about this, the Bush defenders will say, oh, well, you know, they didn't have an investigation because they were so concerned about saving lives there. Oh, really? Guys, they didn't start the cleanup crew efforts until the next day. By which time, if there were any survivors, and there were some, they did pull some out within an hour or two after the collapse. Willie Rodriguez was one. Remember, underneath the stairwell there, they actually found a couple survivors. But if there were any more survivors in there, by the next day, they had long since been dead. If for no other reason, by suffocation. There's no way anybody could have survived being stuck in that debris. Once again, I've got to take my phone out. Sorry, guys. Hey, at least they stopped the construction across the street. They actually finished up. But, you know, by the next day, there were no survivors. But understand, they continued with this haphazard, sloppy removal. And well, it wasn't sloppy. It was done on purpose, of course. They continued with this removing of debris without it being examined for the next several months until it was all carted away and destroyed without any investigation. Do you understand? This was not over concern for lost life, so or for people that were still alive in there. And then when you pursue that, when you mention that, look, this went on for months. There were no survivors in there for months. Then they'll say, oh, well, they were also concerned about recovering remains of the dead so that they could be turned over to their families for proper burial. Sorry, that one doesn't add up either. Because as it turns out, in fact, earlier this year, in February, there was an article that came out talking about how a section of road had been dug up back in January, right near Ground Zero, a section of road that had been laid down after the attacks. They, you know, they redid the road because it was all chopped up, you know. And when they did that, they discovered underneath the road two complete steel girders weighing hundreds of tons, and right next to them were chunks of bones and some complete bones. Total, it was about 30 or 40 pieces. I mean, just, you know, big chunks of bone. You couldn't mistake what they were. They were sitting right there next to these huge steel girders. Does that sound like they were meticulously going? And, of course, they also found down the street in a manhole, they found bones. They found bones on a nearby rooftop. Does that sound to you like they were really concerned about gathering up every piece of human remains they could possibly find? It also emerged earlier this year in another article, guys, that they were grinding up debris from Ground Zero, including human bones that were all mixed in with the debris, to use as road fill. So much for the claim that they were removing the debris in such a hurry without an examination because they were concerned about human remains. No, you can throw that one out too. This is unbelievable, man. And yet, if you question the official story, any of these fiascos I'm discussing, you're doing an injustice to the memory of those who died and to their living family members. Yeah, right. Your lying propaganda can easily be seen for what it is to anyone that has half a brain and a conscience. You gotta have both. Anyway, guys, obvious why they didn't want an investigation there, because they had to remove the evidence of their crime scene. Once again, it is a federal offense. Oh, they were going after some of the cleanup crew members who were sneaking pieces of steel out in their pockets. You know, that's a federal crime scene. You're stealing federal property. That's crime scene evidence. And yet that very evidence was being hauled off to be sent over and melted down and sent off to China for scrap. How dare you touch that evidence? That's a crime. We want that evidence so we can send it over to China and have it melted down. Not to be used as evidence for a crime scene. They didn't investigate it. They did the same thing, guys, at Shanksville. The same exact thing. The people on the scene there that, you know, wanted to conduct a proper investigation, they were all ready. They had the ropes, you know, to rope off the area and label each section and each part that they removed, each piece they found. They were going to label it and number it and categorize it and whatever, take pictures of it, like they do in any crime scene investigation. You know what? The FBI was on the scene telling these investigators, nope, that's not necessary. Just clean the debris up and haul it off, get rid of it. We don't need an investigation here because we already know what happened. Oh, really? That's funny. The general public doesn't know what happened. We're told what happened, but nobody knows that that's what happened. In fact, we know that it didn't happen that way. No plane crashed in that field, guys. They never produced any plane parts in that field, and no human remains. It was just a hole, an empty hole. There was like trash, you know, crumbled up paper and who knows what else. It looked like a dump site, but no pieces of an airplane, that's for sure. Oh, they did find some pieces of airplane miles away, but not in Shanksville, not in that field, not a thing.
Oh, we don't need an investigation here. We already know what happened. Just sweep it up and fill in.
This is the same FBI, by the way, that showed up at a local 911 call center in Pennsylvania and seized the recording of a tape that one of the workers there said had called in on his cell phone just before the plane crashed. He said, "Mayday, mayday, we've been hit. I'm in the bathroom of a hijacked plane, and I'm looking out the window, and I see the plane has been hit. I heard a thud, and I can see smoke coming out of the window, you know, and we're going to crash. We're very low to the ground." You know, as far as phones not working, cell phones not working from airplanes, that's not the case here. Cell phones do not work on commercial airliners above 8,000 feet, but this plane was well within 8,000 feet. He says, we're very low to the ground. It was well within the range of the relay towers. So this was a legitimate call, and the FBI seizes the recording. Unbelievable. The whole story is a complete fraud, and they're saying, oh, no, we already know what happened. You know, at the Pentagon, Plaffer, the fire chief, was asked, you know, what's going on here? We don't see any pieces of airplane. Where did the airplane go? These 757 weighs 120,000 pounds, stripped. And, of course, it wasn't stripped. It had loads of, you know, luggage and the passengers and on and on and on. And, you know, where is it? Legitimate question to ask. You know what he says?
Well, we believe at this point the plane essentially vaporized upon impact, which, of course, is completely ridiculous. Planes don't vaporize on impact, especially steel and titanium engines that require temperatures of over 5,100 degrees. How did you get temperatures of 5,100 degrees from an impact of a plane with basically kerosene as fuel? Burns at a maximum of 1,832 degrees. How do you get temperatures that high? And if the temperatures got that high, how come the lawn in front of the Pentagon wasn't even so much as singed, guys? It wasn't singed. Nor was it torn up as it should have been if a 757 came tearing across it like we were told it did, just a few feet off the ground, where it has 9-foot in diameter engines hanging from below its wings. But, of course, these questions are all moot when you consider the fact that Hani Hanjour, said to have been the pilot of that plane, was so poorly skilled as a flyer, as a pilot, that his own instructor said just 6 weeks before 9/11 that he would never fly with him again. That's how bad of a pilot he was. And we're supposed to believe within 6 weeks he required or acquired skills that were more competent than pilots who have 20, 30 years under their belt, who have said that there's no way that's possible. Maybe with a military plane that could be done, but not with a commercial airliner. No experienced pilot has come forward and said, oh, yeah, that's an easy maneuver. I can do that. They don't want to embarrass themselves because, you know, if you ever got one to say that, they, of course, would be a Bush supporter. But they'd be embarrassed to do that because they know all other experienced pilots would expose them as the liars that they are. It's not possible, guys. You know what? The onboard computer wouldn't even allow such a maneuver. They would recognize it as pilot error and override it. Truth is, a plane of that size couldn't even withstand the G-forces that would be created by such a downward turn. It would rip the plane to shreds. Not to mention, it would cause all of the passengers, including the pilot, to pass out unless they've been trained with, you know, like astronaut training where they spin you around and around and around and around, you know, 60 reps per second or whatever it is. There's no way that you can withstand that kind of G-force. 7 or 8 G's, guys, would have been created from that downward spiral turn of 270 degrees like that. Everyone on that plane would have passed out. Do you understand? This is not possible. And I need to point out, too, Plaffer, the fire chief, who said that the plane had vaporized, understand that less than a year later, the FBI came forward and said that they managed to identify all passenger remains except for an infant girl on that plane. And, of course, the hijackers, which the coroner's report made no mention of. But the FBI also stated that it had assembled Flight 77 and had it in a hangar. Well, that ends their vaporization story right there, doesn't it? How can you say that the plane vaporized and yet the FBI said that it had remains of all of those passengers and that it assembled the plane in a hangar? Well, guys, I have no doubt that they found all these passengers' remains, and I have no doubt that the FBI probably does have Flight 77 reassembled in a hangar. But neither the plane remains or the passenger remains came from the Pentagon, because that plane never hit the Pentagon. It couldn't possibly have hit the Pentagon for reasons I just mentioned, as well as the fact that the damage done to the Pentagon is far too insignificant to have been the result of an impact from a 757. Forget it. Don't even bother. Have you ever seen the close-ups, the blow-ups of the Ingersoll picture taken right after the Pentagon was hit before there was a collapse of the front of the facade there that occurred about 40 minutes after the Pentagon was hit? Have you ever seen those pictures, the blow-ups especially, when it zooms in? And what actually took place is that this impacting aircraft went through the window
It actually went through a window. So heaven knows how big the actual craft was. It just punctured out the window as it went through the window. But it didn't do any damage to the window frame. So obviously this thing was much smaller than the width of the window. No damage done above this window, you know, the top part of the frame, from the tail fin. No damage done on either side of the window frame from the wings. There's no hole on either side of the window from the engines. Yet the engines didn't fall off and land outside. Where did the engines go? They didn't go in the building. They didn't land outside. Where did they go? 1 ton plus those engines weigh each. 9 feet in diameter, steel and titanium. Something like that just doesn't disappear, folks. Nor can it. Where did the engines go? Oh, the mysteries abound. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. We've got another few more minutes here. Wow, 2 hours just flown by. Like I said, there's so much more to talk about regarding 9/11, and I'll be going into more detail on future shows. But let me just say this, guys. You know, you come to the towers, and it's obvious they were taken down with explosives. And then people ask, how could they have done that? Do you realize that just 4 days before the attacks on Friday the 7th, there was an order was given by the security company, which was formerly headed up by Jeb Bush, I might add, who was formerly the CEO. An order was given to call out all the bomb-sniffing dogs for over the weekend. Never was an explanation given for this. You know, the order was just given and just follow it and shut up, basically. And then the next night, which makes this order even more suspicious, strangers were coming in and out of the towers as there was a power down. Workers, you know, the security workers were told, oh, we're just installing a new cabling system, so don't worry. Yet there was a power down. All the security cameras were turned off. And these strangers were wheeling carts in and out of the buildings all night long, supposedly installing, the new cabling system. Right. Yeah. That's why they had the bomb-sniffing dogs called out the night before. Think about it. But, of course, you know, they couldn't have rigged both towers with all the necessary explosives in that short time. What they were doing there, obviously, was just the final finishing touches. But early stages of this began, you know, weeks and weeks earlier. And we know how that was pulled off. For example, there were about a dozen fire drills in the 3 or 4 weeks leading up to the attacks. Literally, a dozen. And each time, all the employees, thousands of them, were held outside for hours at a time. Several people have, you know, gone on record saying that was unbelievable, unprecedented. Never seen anything like it. No explanation for it. It just didn't make sense. There's no reason to have all these fire drills back-to-back like that. There were other screwy things going on. There were two floors in the North Tower, for example, that, you know, the regular employees were denied access to. Only certain individuals were allowed to go on those floors who had special access codes for the elevator to stop on them. And these floors had a lot of strange activities taking place, a lot of heavy banging, you know, construction sounds, hydraulic drills. And each day, some of the people like Scott Forbes, for example, had his office located right below one of the floors that they were working on. I think it was the 96th floor. And he said every morning he would come in and he would find fine dust all over the place. He had to dust his desk and his, you know, windowsills and everything because of the construction work going on. You could hear heavy things being dragged across the floor. It sounded like a dumpster, he said, and this boom, boom, banging, the whole building would shake. Obviously, guys, they were during this time installing some of the explosives. It's very obvious. And, you know, that's the reason for taking down Building 7. People often ask, well, why did they take it down? It's obvious it's a controlled demolition, but why would they do it? That served as the command and control center for two things. Number one, managing the flying of the planes into the towers, which was done through remote control. They had front row seats so they could get a good view and make sure those planes hit dead center. The second plane that hit the South Tower did not hit dead center, what was supposed to be Flight 175. It almost missed the building entirely only because a gust of wind had grabbed it and pulled it to the right. It took a very crafty maneuver to get that plane to turn and just graze the corner of the building. A regular pilot, guys, would require a lot of skill to do that. This was no regular pilot behind the wheel. In fact, it wasn't a pilot at all. It was remote control that pulled this off. Anyway, in addition to that, flying the planes into the buildings through remote control. In Building 7, it was also the command center to manage the taking down of the two main towers. And when that building was brought down, all the evidence, all the high-tech equipment, everything was destroyed. And, you know, not only that, but, of course, housed in there as well was the SEC headquarters, Security Exchange headquarters, which was conducting the Enron investigation. All of the Enron records were destroyed when that building came down. So there's a lot of motives for taking it down, not to mention Larry Boy got his huge settlement. He insured it, guys, just 6 weeks before the attacks for the first time in its history for terrorism, and he fought heavily to get it insured for twice its value. And he collected twice its value, too, claiming that it amounted to two attacks, so he was entitled to twice the settlement. Only put $100 million down and got $6.4 billion back. Think about it! All right, guys, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Another great guest then. Take care.
True.